So, guys, welcome to, I don't even know what episode this is. It's episode 2 of season 2 of the podcast. And I've got a guest with me today. But before I introduce her, I'm going to put a little bit of miles on her soul. I've got someone who's a newly certified nutritionist through Mount Nutrition Uni, a fellow September 2019 intake with me. So I've got with me Lizzie. Say hi.
Hi.
So Lizzie, go on, tell us about you. Tell us why you got into MNU. Tell us who you are, what you do, why you do it. Go for it.
Okay, so basically, I won't go into the full story, but I have had a very sort of sporty background. And I always say this to any sort of, person who wants to just become a personal trainer because they've got a love of fitness or whatever. I just say you need to be very sort of business minded as well. You can't just go in just because you like the gym. And I've always thought, do you know what? I'm very business focused. I'll be good at this. Let's give it a go. And I decided to do PT from the gym that I was actually training at. So I was already in Pure Gym. I asked for a job there once I'd qualified as a PT. Done about, I think, 3 years maybe before deciding to do nutrition. And then obviously was looking around to find what the best course was for me to do. Like, obviously I'd seen on Precision Nutrition and a couple of the other ones, but I didn't want to invest in one that I was always going to sort of not get the most out of and end up having to pay for another one anyway. So I waited and just thought, right, seeing this opportunity for the enrollments, but right, let's go, and done it. Best thing I've ever done.
Is right. I love that. Do you love when I was in enrolling on that course, I was in a session with a client when that enrollment opened, and I was six spaces away. I said to the client, I was like, look, I'm so sorry, but I've got to do this. And he was just literally, he was cracking up. And I hate going on my phone when I'm training people. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I'm so sorry. I've got to do this. And they were warming up for the set. And I was just like, eyes on my phone, because the enrollment opened and I was six spaces away from not getting in. So I said, I'm sorry, I've got to do this. Like, I'll give you another session, but I'm so sorry. So I was six spaces away. But yeah, you said before you didn't want to do another nutrition course. And I've seen quite a few out there. You know, if you're a PT who's wanting to do other nutrition courses, I know what my answer would be. But if you was a PT who's wanting to do a nutrition course, you know, would you go with another one or would you go with MNU?
Oh God, it just have to be MNU. It's just like, I'd followed Martin McDonald for quite a while before I'd even decided. And obviously I paid a lot of attention to sort of his posts and his stories and everything. So I was just sitting in the background at this point thinking, you know, obviously, let's just do my research, see what course I want to go with. And then, because I like this stuff and he knows his stuff, like, he's amazing. I thought, right now, I'm decided. And so, as soon as I seen the enrollment, I just signed up. And it was night time. Just thought, right, let's go.
It's pretty good. So now you're a certified nutritionist and all is well and good. So, yeah, the reason why I wanted to get you on today is, again, just to talk about your experiences with nutrition and just to give the listeners and all the watchers on YouTube, that is, give the ladies and gentlemen just some insights on just some of the things we've both learned over the last year, which is flu, by the way.
Wow. Where to even start? Like, I remember, like, first qualifying as a PT. And you think you know it. You think, well, you don't know it, but you think you've got a fair idea. And obviously what you learn on the PT course is just the basics.
Yeah, and even you basically learn. Right? Yeah, you learn how to pass. And you all you learn, I think, is not to step over the barbell.
That is literally it. And yeah. I think you only get become better at what you do with more experience that you have. It's like passing your driving test. You only really get better once you've been out on the roads and you start doing things in your own way. I mean, I've trained clients already with, like, you know, arthritis, osteoarthritis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and, you know, some of it was, I'll admit, it was a lot of self-research and looking into things. But when you start learning how to read evidence properly, like, you know, PubMed and all that, you start to realise, oh my God, like, what was I actually reading there? Don't know whether it was the same, but I thought, oh my God.
PubMed is like the holy grail for, like, research and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of, like, obviously there's a lot of fitness fads and fucking bullshit surrounding the industry. And obviously we both know that there's even coaches out there who teach this, these sort of things, like these fads. So it's, I don't know about you, but it's sort of reassuring to know the, you know, how to read research, how to see where it's been, like, cherry picked data. And, you know, if someone's got a bias, it's easy to see that. By the way, I apologize if you hear a dog barking or if you hear someone talking. Like, we're all on lockdown and I'm stuck in my room. So yeah, I wanted to go into myths on nutrition because I love debunking myths. I love talking about them, and it's some in fucking infuriate me. So I want to know what really makes you tick when it comes to fitness myths and nutrition myths.
I think, to be honest with you, I say that it's hard to just pick one. When I do, you're probably the same, but when I do my consultations, I like to just go through if they've ever tried to, you know, say, for example, their goal was weight loss or fat loss, which is majority of the time. I'll try and find a little bit about what other sort of diets they've tried to practice previously and why they've gone down that route, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And some of them, a lot of them have come from previous trainers that have told them to only have, like, one or two pieces of dark chocolate a week, or, you know, they can't have chocolate, or they can't eat bread, or, you know, and it just baffles me every single time. Like,
yeah,
it's bread just insane.
Yeah, the bread one gets me. And like, where people have that negative, like, oh, when I eat bread, when I don't eat bread, I lose so much more weight. And it's like, okay, probably because you're stacking your bread full of butter, you're having like four pieces, and you're thinking it's fuck all. Like, chances are, the deficit. But yeah, your favorite nutrition myth, have you got one in mind?
I think, one I was going to say then was, I've come across people who really do believe that a calorie deficit doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Oh, them people.
Recently, before the gyms closed, I had a woman come up to me asking me how I'd lost weight myself. So obviously just went through calorie deficit. She doesn't believe in weight training either, because it was either Weight Watchers or Slim and World that said train. Cardio. So I was like, wow, okay. So yeah, that was another one. And she actually said that I'm in a calorie deficit, I'm hardly eating, and I'm just gaining weight. I'm like, okay, that just doesn't happen. But yeah,
I compare them to the flat earthers, so the people who just totally ignore and neglect the number one fundamental rule of, you know, fat loss is a calorie deficit. And people out there who don't believe this exists, and it's all loads of lies because they can't do it. They're basing their anecdote failures on the fact that they can't lose weight because it's just, you know, the genetics, or it's just some shit. And they do exist. Like, people who don't believe in calories exist. It's like the flat earthers. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've come across a woman who went for hypnosis because she wanted to lose weight.
Right.
So yeah, like that's the extremes that people will go to.
It's crazy, isn't it? It is crazy. And do you know what? It's full of, like, this industry we're in, it's, you got to be very, very careful, because there's things out there, and there's methods, there's principles, and there's things that can create a lot of eating disorders as well, like Slimmer's World, like Weight Watchers. Like, there's so many things that can have a knock-on effect, if you will. Do you know what I mean? So, like Slimmer's World. Mm. But,
definitely.
Yeah.
Sins. My,
yeah. Oh, Sins. God. Yeah. Sins. Yeah. That one as well. Let's not go into that. Like, that's a whole other episode.
That's a whole other episode. We'll be all night if that's the case.
Yeah, definitely. My favorite nutrition myth is, and people would understand where I'm coming from with this, is to do artificial sweeteners. So, like, aspartame and, you know, sucralose and things like that. And all this just bullshit and, you know, again, the cherry picking data. Like, I've done a blog on my website saying that people say it makes you gain weight. And the association they make with that is because those who drink diet beverages and like sugar sweetened beverages such like Diet Coke, Monster, them people are most likely to be on a diet, so therefore they're most likely to be an obese population. So they've sort of went from A to B, and then they've skipped to Z. So they're correlating, like, the, you know, because they're drinking sugared sweetened beverage, that it makes you gain weight. You know, and that's that, like, correlations and causations and all that. But that's, again, it's just one of many things that they say that can happen. You know, cancer's another one. Like, aspartame can give you cancer. And it's just like, where do all these come from? Who invents these myths? It's crazy. It's absolute crazy.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a woman start with me, say, like, before the last gym lockdown, again in the consultation, and was actually told that organic chicken was higher in protein than just normal chicken.
Must be some super anabolic chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So and this whole myth of organic, you know, being better, it's just,
yeah, it's just, there's a lot of people who
make any difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who do I remember a dude back in college who just swore blind by organic. Everything was organic, but you go in the supermarket these days and you look at organic foods, and they're like doubling price.
Oh, easy, yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, it doesn't even taste better. You can't even tell the difference. Like, I can give you two pieces of chicken. One could be organic, one could be non-organic, or just normal. And you could not tell the difference. You could not tell the difference. Like, if anything, or if like, you know, the fruit and vegetables, maybe they contain fewer pesticides. Like, I think it was 30%.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
But it's literally the minutiae of that. It's just not important, and it's just irrelevant.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's where we get the conclusions from. I call it fuckery or Nutribollocks. It's people who just make shit up, and that's where everyone gets fed lies. And it's just absolute shit.
Yeah, definitely. So
let's talk about the exams. About the MNU exams. What was the hardest one for you?
Case studies. Not because of it being hard, like, you know, you don't know the stuff. It's more the time. And for me, I could have just been a lot more organized with that, in terms of, you know, what you've done with the formulas, just having them ready, which I didn't. So I was sat there typing out Harris Benedict's formula, which took up half of the exam. So, and the short answers was a bit of a challenging one as well, to say the least.
It's that time, isn't it? Like, you're so crunched on time. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So what's yours? Do you know what? Probably the short answers. Probably the short answers. Like, I feel like there's certain things I do favour when it comes to learning about nutrition, and probably the ones that trip me up on the short answers were the ones that I didn't really care about, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I've been out of exams for that long that the nerves got the better of me. It's not even worth thinking about it now because we've both passed. But I mean, just for anyone who is going to, you know, watch this and might have the next MNU exams. Just the time is always, it's the worst part.
What would be a decent couple of tips for any student watching this, any future students or current students watching that's currently doing MNU?
Do the homeworks.
Yes,
definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've done most of them, but as I say, as I come towards like the last, I'd say a couple of months or maybe just weeks, I struggled to get them in with the work schedule and being back in the gym when the gym's opened. That was me. That was, you know, I put so much hours into the gym, and then when it comes to just even getting the time to watch the lectures, that was hard enough without doing the homework. So I'd just say if to anyone who's going to be doing the MNU 2020, you know, have a go with the homeworks. They do well.
Mm. No, I agree. Do the homeworks. Like, don't skip over. And I think there was one where I missed that I really fucking needed the homework.
Was it the conceptualizing macronutrient one?
Yep. Only because I was like, I know how to calculate macros and calories. I'm fine. But
I think it's when it comes to the METs, you know, the metabolic equivalents. I think when all that had to be factored into the exercise expenditure.
I done a video on that, you know, about the joke, because people often compare the fitness trackers and the calories burnt.
Yeah.
Ever had clients come to you and say, oh, I've burnt like 800 calories in my workout. And you're like,
and
oh, can I eat more?
Need that back as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole idea of the whole notion of the, you know, I've burnt 800 calories, therefore I'm going to have a McDonald's. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
If you wanted to more accurately calculate your calories whilst doing an activity, take it from two people who have worked out someone's exact calories. Like, not exact.
Yeah,
I mean,
hard.
We didn't put them in a metabolic ward. Yeah. But it's a lot of fucking calculations. And, you know, if it was that easy to say, put a watch on and let's see how much you burn, it'd be so much easier. To be honest.
Plus as well, for anyone who's listening, exercise efficiency as well. So the fitter that we actually get, you know, these monitors are just not going to be accurate whatsoever.
Mm.
You know, someone, a marathon runner who you know, runs marathons frequently, you know, they're not going to be, you know, expending thousands and thousands like you think they are. I mean, yeah, they're going to be burning a fair amount, but because they're efficient at doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the body's way of adapting, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know my one thing that stuck with me, and it shocked a lot of people as well, was from the hydration lecture, and it was that milk was actually more hydrating than water.
Yeah.
It blows people's minds away.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What was your favourite module?
Pregnancy had to be up there.
Pregnancy?
I actually really enjoyed that part. And I also liked the eating disorders as well.
That one was interesting. That one was so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually opened my eyes to a lot, that one.
Yeah.
To be honest. Just about the behaviours. Yeah. And like I said, with the Slim and World one, like that's a whole other fucking episode, I think. But yeah, it makes you just so much aware of if people are displaying like behaviors, like different behaviors that can develop into one. Do you know what I mean? It does open your eyes a lot.
What was yours?
Do you know what? Either the IBS one was quite good, I think, or the supplements.
was so in depth, wasn't it? The IBS.
Yeah, it was complex. Amazing. Yeah, maybe and the supplements because, as well.
Yeah, supplements, yeah.
Again, I'm a massive fucking supplement junkie and fan, so personally, I quite enjoyed that. And from that, it just, again, it opened your eyes to so much other, the BS that surrounds the industry, like, you know, fat burners and shit.
Yeah.
It is quite funny.
Definitely.
Yeah.
People with everything.
Yeah, and I always get clients coming to me and like, oh, what do you think of this? Like, I had some dude, one of my clients, he's in his 50s, I think. And his friends keep sending like links to supplements and just like Testo X or like Buddy Test Booster 3000 gains, fucking, I don't know. But it's like a test booster. And the idea and the notion that it's, you know, it's going to miraculously boost your testosterone, make you jacked. It's like, come on. It's just probably a lot of caffeine and a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I've got 5 questions. And some are quickfire, some are not. Some are designed to put you on the spot. And I just want to know your response. It's not someone to do nutrition, someone to do with like just shit, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So we'll start with this. What would you do if you were stuck on a desert island with £100?
Oh, no, God.
No laptop, no phone, £100. What would you do?
Oh, God, you've got to give me some time to. I don't know, I'll probably save it, knowing me.
You'd save it?
I actually love saving money. I think I'm the only one who loves saving money. If I was on a desert island.
Let's talk about like in a business point of view. Like you've got a laptop, you've got £100, you've got Wi-Fi. And you've got to advance on that business. What would you do with £100?
God, probably invest into more learning, to be honest.
Invest into learning.
Yeah, I'm already looking at my next course.
Ooh, go on.
I want to do GP level. Level 4 GP referral.
Oh, nice. You've just said that, so that's holding you accountable there.
Yeah, right, so that's great. So, but I don't know. Well, you put me on the spot here.
You're going to think about that now for ages, but.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to learn how to use Instagram a little bit more. You know, like your social media platform and get more out of it, yeah, because these algorithms just.
Sometimes algorithms suck. I mean, you can post a picture 1 minute and you can post it again 10 minutes later and the algorithm just doesn't let you have it.
Yeah.
Or doesn't let people see it. So the way it works, like if people engage with that piece of content, the more they engage with that, the more it gets pushed on the top of people's news feeds. So if you don't post a certain time or people don't spend a lot of time like looking on that certain post, it can just like diminish and it can suck. Some man get like over 1,000 reach, but some get like 200. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So I'd love to obviously know a bit more about how that works, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And how to get the most out of the platform.
Yeah,
Other than that, what would you spend £100 on? Oh, God. What would you spend it on?
Well, I've got my laptop, I've got Wi-Fi, I've got £100. I'd throw £100 on an advertisement targeting probably the major cities in the UK. And I'd just do probably Zoom webinars or just like a paid content course and you know, try and teach people about nutrition and probably, you know, get a lot more money, eventually get off the island because it's peaceful. Yeah, I think the answer to my that one would be just to throw everything, every single penny, and risk it and just throw an advertisement. If it doesn't work, then I guess I'm dying then. Right, sweet. Oh, God. So, one question I didn't write down that I just want to ask is, how have you found lockdown two?
A lot more challenging than the first one. Because, well, actually, I was studying on the first one, so that was, in terms of like business, it's definitely been challenging this time round because of like, obviously it's coming up to the winter now, and outdoor. So in the summer I was doing outdoor sessions, which I love doing. I've got a big cricket field facing the house, so obviously outside in the summer was like, it was nice, but I'm not doing that at the minute. I'm just completely online. So yeah, it's a bit more challenging doing Zoom PT, but I enjoy it at the same time. It's not the same as the gym, but
it is different. Yeah. You've got to adapt. In the first lockdown, like I even told my clients, like I was doing Zoom sessions I was getting up out of bed, getting a coffee, sitting here in my boxies and just doing Zoom sessions. I said to the clients, like, I'm never going to be able to do that again. I'm never going to be able to just sit in my room.
Nice, not having to travel to work. Mm. You know, I'm literally getting up. I'm in my routine in the morning. I just get up, I have a cup of tea. You know, I'll start work or I'll go on a walk before work. And then obviously, like, I'm just in this room like all day then.
And do you know what? Like, how has it been mentally? Like, have you found it tough? Have you struggled?
Compared to the first one, just because, like, even though I'm busy now, I was a lot busier on the first one in terms of we had MNU, didn't we? And we had studying and that to try and... I was in a routine of just, like, work, study. So the days just flew over. But now, because it's coming up to, like, the winter... Don't know. I just don't like the winter anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I just
definitely
on a downer anyway. So I'm just trying to stay positive for to keep my clients going. Basically, I suppose you're like me. Take my work to heart. So I want to try and do everything I can to try and keep people motivated and everything else. Even though sometimes I just don't not feeling motivated myself.
Yeah, I think the most important part is, like, you know, showing up even though you don't want to.
That's it, yeah. Some days I've got sessions, I see my diary and I've got, like yesterday I just had sessions all day. I got up in the morning and I thought, oh God, do you know what I mean? It was tough going. And it's the same in the gym though. Sometimes I get up and be like, yeah, I'm looking forward to the day. And then I suppose we're all the same. Just have days where we just think, oh no, not today.
Yeah.
Well, get on with it.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you do to, like, motivate yourself, and what do you do to keep your mental health good and all this, like, in lockdown too? Like, what do you do?
Walk. Yeah, put my music in. Listen to a podcast. I'll just walk, and then if I'm not walking, then I mean, I always say this to my clients as well. You know, obviously, if they're feeling down or, you know, stressed with anything, then, you know, instead of just going and turning to food, which a majority of the people do, that's like a coping mechanism. I just like word searches. I know it sounds sad.
Distraction.
Sometimes I will get so engrossed in a word search that I could be gone for a couple of hours, like just... Or paint. I've got like this paint app on my iPad, so I'll just sit there and do paint. If I find I'm out this room and I'm outdoors on a walk, I'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I hear the same here. Like the routine as well of going for a walk and keeping that routine is imperative to me. Like every morning, near 6 a.m. Doesn't have to be bang on, like around 6, half 6. Get out, get a walk done, babble on my stories a little bit, and listen to an audiobook. Nah, definitely. Yeah. No, good. So, me third question. 2021. Where's the first place you're gonna go to travel?
Dubai.
Dubai. Nice. That.
I was supposed to have went in July this year for my 30th, and it got cancelled. So I've just sort of stuck with it now. Right now, as if I don't go to Dubai this year, I'm going next year. So that's my first place on my list. Yeah. What
Dubai,
about
you? Man. Do you know what? Probably Mexico.
You've been before, haven't you?
Went last year for my 23rd. Birthday, 23rd. It's one of them places where you got that place where you'd go again. You'd go to the same place for the same amount of time. Yeah. It's just perfect. Like, definitely Mexico. Probably Dubai after that, I think.
Cancun, Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely unreal. Like, when you're there, you just forget about all the crap. And plus, the massive bonus is it's not governed by Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Do you want to do, like, doing, it's not even holiday related, but it's I like mountain climbing, so now I lose signal on my phone. It's amazing because there's no messages coming through. Like, I'm up a mountain, I can't be distracted. It's
I get that. Do you know what, when that happens, and when I'm in an area where it doesn't get no signal, or I used to do it on my phone where I'd turn off apps past a certain time. You do it thinking, I'll be fine, I'll be all right. But you do get I get like a little sense of like, oh fuck, what if someone's trying to message me, or what if a client needs me, or, you know, being self-employed, you're always thinking, or like, you're always checking your phone. Do you know what I mean? And that like little anxiety is there with that. It's mad. But yeah, mountain climbing's a great thing to do. Great thing to do. How do you take your coffee?
I literally have the same thing. I just have a cappuccino, so medium skinny cappuccino.
Brilliant. No, like,
I used to drink black coffee. Gone off that again now.
I think people who drink black coffee are psychos. Just saying. it just tastes horrible, you know. My go-to, the OG for me, is white Americano or a flat white. Just an OG. You know, just a little bit of happiness in there, you know.
Yeah, but you drink them fast as well, though, don't you?
It's unusually quick how fast I drink coffee.
Remember our study days?
Yeah, and you'd get coffee and it touched the table. And then I wouldn't put the cup down for like 2 minutes, it'd be gone.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Sweet. So, yeah, cappuccino, no syrups, no flavour in it, just a straight up cappuccino.
Sometimes I have a sugar-free caramel, you know, the syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I might get a little bit of that, but I'm quite happy without it. Just like a couple of sweeteners in, that's it.
Some dangerous chemicals.
Easy. Dangerous chemicals, yeah.
Dangerous chemicals. Yeah. And I think this is the last one, I think. Two more. Is what's your favourite book or favourite Audible or favourite thing to listen to?
That's
not music.
That's not... Oh, I was going to say music. It's like listening to music. oh, God. I don't know, actually. I'll give you an answer on that. I just need like a little think about it.
Do you want to go to the next question?
Because you know what the last book I was reading was? You get it.
Well. Hey, that is on my bookshelf there.
Oh, did you get the same one?
Yeah, recommended by the man himself. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the last one. I was reading until I got the email to say you passed your exams, and then it stopped.
Yes. Do you know what I'd recommend for anyone listening and for you as well? I even found it really interesting. Is a book called Is Butter a Carb?
Ooh.
It is brilliant. And for anyone listening, if you, even if you don't know anything at all about nutrition, or if you know a lot, you know, there's still things in there that made me think, oh, wow, fucking hell. Is, you know, it tells you how to read research, how to spot like charlatans and stuff or bullshit. It goes a lot in depth. So I would recommend that book to anyone, even you, Liz.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, honestly.
Yeah. I was reading a book on motivational interviewing, which is like another area that I'm really interested in.
So
do you know when you've got someone who's sort of like they want to change but there's something there that keeps pulling them back to the original sort of habit. So say for example someone wanted to sort of stop smoking, so you know what the benefits are of stopping smoking. Yeah. You also know the dangers to your health if you carry on. So these people know that, you know, the benefits of stopping. But as soon as they start to make that move, there's that something in their mind that's pulling them back to do it. So they start looking at the negatives of taking them steps forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The same with dieting as well. So people realize that, yeah, okay, I want to lose weight. And then they go to take that step to lose weight. But then something's there that's pulling them back into old eating habits. So that's what I want to sort of read into and learn more about, you know, the cognitive behavioural therapy.
Yeah.
I want to learn more about that just so that, you know, I can try and, you know, help people a little bit more. I mean, we've covered it on the course. Like, you know, and then for anyone, you know, watching this, a nutritionist can't exactly give you the motivation to do it. But they can definitely help you become motivated to do it. Do you know what I mean? And just the way that you say things.
Yeah, definitely. And
focusing on the positives of what they can do. You know, making it, you know, these little changes have to be realistic to what that person can do and are willing to do. Like, it's not. So, for example, me, I like tracking. So I use NutriCheck to track my food intake. I wouldn't expect everyone to do that because, again, like, as you know, it's not always suitable for some people. So, yeah, I just want to, you know, sort of look into things like that.
Mm. There's a book by Carol Dweck, and it's called Mindset. And it speaks about people who are fixed versus growth mindset. And a couple of points what you're saying there is like people who are just ignorant to change altogether. So they're the people who think they know everything. They're the people who think there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, but they just can't seem to get anywhere. I think that book, for anyone who's, again, gotta be careful not to be a prick here, anyone who thinks they know it all about nutrition and thinks they're, you know, they know everything, that's very fixed. You know, a fixed mindset doesn't get very far. A growth mindset is, you know, I know a little bit about food nutrition, I could know more, so I'll accept advice, I'll accept help, I'll accept a coach, a PT. I think most of the clients, I mean, you get, they've got a very growth-oriented mindset. So a decent book to get is Carol Dweck, Mindset.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. One that I got through on my Instagram stories today, and I answered on my story, but I want to know your take is, someone asked, I'll get the question up now, is a vegetarian diet
healthy? On Instagram,
healthy?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So on Instagram stories, I got a question through saying, is vegetarian dieting healthier? So what do you think on that?
Oh, that's a good question, then, isn't it? Not necessarily. You know, you can still have a very healthy diet eating meat.
I agree.
I mean, sometimes, you know, as we've covered before, like, vegetarians are health seeking. So they do start, you know, paying a little bit more attention to sort of the foods that they're eating. But at the same time, you could be a vegetarian and still, I don't know, eat junk food maybe.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. Like I've written down that you wouldn't see like a vegan vegetarian who's not health seeking most of the time. Like some vegan vegetarians, you know, might display better like blood markers, blood lipids, etc., because they've got good lifestyle habits. That's where the negative connotation comes in, and people just jump to conclusions. But yeah, it's like they said, the health seeking individuals, so they seek better health, therefore they're more likely to be, quote, I hate using the word healthier, it's just shit.
Yeah, healthier. I mean, because they're just, obviously when we covered, you know, vegetarians and vegans, they start to change a lot of things, like lifestyle factors and you know, but I've come across vegans who, you know, who haven't got the greatest of diets either. Do you know what I mean? They've just opted for no meat and no dairy, but then, you know, they still drink alcohol and, you know, they don't always have the best lifestyle factors. So just because they are vegetarian or vegan, it's not the be all and end all. But most of the time, once they have swapped to something like that, then yeah, they are a bit more aware of their food choices. So I suppose, yeah. Mm. I mean, meat eaters, they're known as unhealthy because of all of the other factors that go with it, you know, like smoking, not exercising, no fruit and veg. That's why, you know, meat eaters are sort of, I don't know,
bad label.
Looked at. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a stereotype. Crazy. Right, so what I wanted to wrap up with is you got something called Workout Titan. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a co-owner of Titan, yeah.
We're in an elevator. 30 seconds to tell me what it is. Go.
Oh, God. Okay, 30 seconds.
Go for it.
Okay, so it's an online training platform, which is not just used by me, but it's also used by other personal trainers who want to sort of use the or create programs or workout plans for the clients. So yeah, as I say, it's not just mine. We're going to get other things on there as well, you know, which edge towards mental health. So sort of being able to check in, how was your mood before your workout, how was your mood after your workout. There's calorie calculators, there's going to be all kinds. It's in the middle of its development at the minute, so there's a lot going into it. But yeah, it's going to be a fast platform where you can just, anyone can use it. But we have got background checks on it, so I've probably gone over 30 seconds, but oh well. There's background checks on it, so we want, qualified PTs to use it, not just anyone. But yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Quick question then before you go.
Go for it.
How
question
are you
for me.
Finding? Yeah, I just want a quick question. How are you finding structuring your business to suit both your personal training and nutrition? Because mine's in the middle of a restructure at the minute. And let me tell you, it's odd graft.
Yeah, it's a good question. Do you know what? I've not put that much effort into separating the business between the two. I just, as an extra service, I offer just a one-off nutrition consultation at the moment. But the full effort and the full drive goes towards my current clients at the moment. It gets embedded into their programs. You know, they get to reap the full benefit first. I'm going to go along the lines of some nutrition courses next year, like having a course for people who know nothing about nutrition to come on my course, run through it, and by the time they finish, that they know the basic fundamentals and a lot more as well. So that's what I intend to do with that.
Okay.
Brilliant. I like getting asked questions. It's brilliant, though. It's brilliant.
I was just wondering because mine's running. I'm separating mine now. it's challenging.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, in PT, you're going to get clients who, you know, if they come to you with the option of just personal training, and they come to you and say, yeah, I want to lose a little bit of weight, but they pay me just for PT, I'll be like, yeah, okay. But if they're not losing weight, then obviously you're going to feel, right, okay, let's give you some advice there.
Mm.
If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's like splitting the two.
Yeah, it's splitting the two, but then you're going to be tempted, because if you get someone who goes, okay, Lizzie, I'll just do PT with you then, that's fine. But if they're my client, I want them to get the results. So if I know that they're not getting them because their diet could potentially be letting them down, then I'm going to obviously want to step in at that point. So that's where the separation is just then a nightmare to do.
Yeah.
But no, I get it.
It
needs to, you need to go think about it.
Got three more weeks left of lockdown to do, so we'll smash it for them.
Oh, okay.
Brill. So,
right, okay.
Lizzie, where can we find you best? On social media, on your website? Go for it.
Yeah, Instagram. Lizzie Maitland, pt.x. And also my website, lizziemaitlandpt.com.
Awesome stuff. Any closing statements before we wrap up?
I think that's everything. If you are looking, if you're watching this and you are really struggling with your diet, then I would just definitely say, and I always say this, do your research, do your own research on who is going to help you best. That's it.
Brilliant. Guys, thanks for listening or watching, depending on what platform you're on. And Lizzie, thank you for coming on of an evening and, well, afternoon, and giving the listeners some value.
No, thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome.
Bye.
Real.